Tanya Dahaskigo, then Azewa Dahusa Dache, Ungahuwen, Hadiwa Nodus, Nene Aboriginal Voices, Oska Dewa Nyawar Oska, Ne Jota FM, CFRC.
And you are tuned to CFRC, 6 o'clock on this Tuesday evening, and welcome. Ani Nichikiwink, Dunk Farquhar, Jiznikos, Minwa Sean Story, Ezna Minwa, and Ishnabi Noewin. And here we go, Aboriginal Voices here on CFRC on a, well, I'm not quite sure what it's like outside, 2 degrees Celsius and a little bit of rain. I think it stopped a bit, but we're Environment Canada gave us a special one of those. Hey, guess what? We got a weather something or other coming your way in Kingston. And between Kingston and Ottawa and Trenton, likely get rain between now and sometime tomorrow afternoon. So, is that good for you, Sean?
Well, it has to be, I guess.
Yeah. If you're like me, you still haven't got parts of the snow taken away from the house.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good.
Would have been helpful if it had been.
Oh, well, on the other hand, the snow kind of blocks the wind from going into the...
I suppose.
...parts of the house that are still open to the world.
I suppose.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's what we have. Apparently, north of Ottawa, and probably up around going to North Bay in Algonquin Park, there's a chance for some freezing rain and a mix of wet snow and rain.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. That. So I don't know what's coming.
We can only hope then.
Well, we hope the roads are good, yeah, for people. But anyway, We're flying along here with Aboriginal Voices, and we're going to talk a bit today. We've got some new music that I'm going to try and get going for you. And while we're looking at it, I'll just set it up for you with one of them. I get these messages from some of the, I guess they're called publicists, who send out to radio stations. So I'll kind of find out what they have, and they sent some. But a fellow named Sebastian Gaskin, and he's from Manitoba. So we'll tell you more about it. Do you have any items there you want to talk about first?
Not a one, Doug.
Oh, no. What's happened? Nothing's working.
Nothing happens in Canada.
Oh. Okay. Around the world.
Nothing happening there either.
No.
So it says here that Canucks honored to host 7th annual First Nation celebration, and it's presented by Rogers.
Ooh.
That's surprising.
In where is that?
That's in Vancouver.
Oh.
And it's the Canucks.
Uh-huh.
Like they're the hockey team, right?
Okay, yes.
And seems that they're going to be having like a presentation. The Vancouver Canucks, they're proud to announce. It's taking place March 5th at 7:30 when the teams face off against the Anaheim Ducks.
Mm.
They dropped the Mighty? When did they drop the Mighty?
I think the Mighty Ducks are on film on the big screen.
Yeah, but then
the Anaheim Ducks.
Because Disney owned like that franchise, the Mighty Ducks.
Yeah.
And then they got themselves a team.
And they called them the Ducks.
No, they called them the Mighty Ducks.
Well, you show me where you see that. I don't remember that being.
I'm
the
certain.
Mighty Ducks are the team you see on a great big screen for show off. I don't know.
So it says here, we are deeply proud to dedicate this special night to honoring the communities whose heritage and resilience built the land we now play on, said Michael Doyle, president, Canucks Sports and Entertainment Business Operations. This evening offers an opportunity to amplify First Nations voices, celebrate their rich cultural and traditions, cultures and traditions, mm-hmm. and reaffirm our commitments to growing together while fostering strong relationships with these communities. When was this? Oh, that, That's tomorrow, right?
Yes.
So
tomorrow night's game.
Are you going to watch it, Doug?
I don't know how.
Because like you're a sports fan. You're a hockey playing guy. Right?
Yeah, I like to
or
watch.
At least you used to.
Yeah, yeah. It's fun to watch now.
So like now, with all these goalie guys, because you play goalie, right?
Yeah.
Would you have been able to stop any of them pucks that they shoot at the goalie guys now?
Lots of them. Listen, the gear they have now.
Like back in the day.
With the gear I had before?
Yeah.
I don't know. I remember.
Did you have a mask?
Yeah. I made it. I went and got some help from dentist, and we made our own masks.
I've heard this before.
But, no, I remember one summer working out with at the Halliburton Hockey Camp when I was a teenager before I went off to, play on OHL teams. And what happened was some of the NHL players, Ron Ellis was one, and Ken Hodge, and Bernie Perrant was a goaltender teaching us. After... in the evening after we worked all day, that they would go and have access to the ice and go and practice. And Ken Hodge lined up a bucket full of hockey pucks, all just, about 2 steps inside the blue line.
Oh, yeah.
From, aiming at the goal net. And
you just fire them right off at you?
The idea was that he would practice, he would just take a shot. And, and the goaltender was supposed to stop it and get rid of the puck. And then
deflect
it or just practice like that. But, I could try that and see. He got two out of the whole bucket in the net.
Was it like a put me in, coach? Put me in.
Well, probably. Hey, I'll try that. Anyway, but the thing was,
Pick me, coach.
The goaltender has a goalie stick and a blocker. Okay, so the blocker's easy because you just make sure you block it and send the puck off to the corner somewhere. And the other one, you have a catching glove.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, when he started shooting to the catching side, if you catch it and you actually turn and try to get rid of the puck out of the mitt, there's another one coming right at you,
So you. Oh, this isn't game.
This is just
this
the practice.
Shooting the pucks at you.
And, you wear chest protectors.
Yeah.
Right? So they're kind of quilted. Anyway, after the first set, I said, I have to go and into the change room for a few minutes. And I went in to look, and because my chest was hurting a little bit, and I took off the chest protector, and I got these bruises all over, just below my throat and all over the place. And I thought, gee. And Ron Ellis was there, and he started to laugh. He said, because he played for the Toronto Maple Leafs. He said, you did a fantastic job there, but I don't think I'd want to stand in front of any of those shots. And I said, yeah, look at what happened. Oh, my goodness. I'm going to have to buy a new vest or a new chest protector.
New vest?
New chest protector vest, yeah. And there was another.
Kevlar?
No, oh, I wish. In those days, they didn't have that. But then Bernie Perrant was there, and he said, hey, use this one, not just alone. Put it over top of the other one. So I had double chest protector, so when I came out, I was really puffed right out, okay?
Puffed right out. Yeah.
But it saved me because the second bucket was even better. It was more fun because I didn't get hurt.
Well, I imagine.
Anyway, yeah, funny things, eh?
So they say this year the Canucks have teamed up with Cole Sparrow Crawford to create a brand new logo to commemorate the occasion.
Nice.
Yeah. The design incorporates patterns inspired by traditional Salish weaving, reflecting the artistry of Sparrow Crawford's family. Mm. The logo also features the iconic yellow, black, and red black skates colors, which represent a traditional blanket from the artist's heritage.
Mm.
By embedding Salish culture into the logo, we celebrate the connection between the team and the territory, in which they play, honoring the long-standing relationship with the Musqueam Nation,
mm-hmm.
Explained Sparrow Crawford. This exclusive logo will be featured in a limited edition collection available at the Canucks Team Store and online at VanBase.
Mm, that's nice.
There's a little bit of a plug for them.
Yes. Yeah.
Hopefully they can, help out.
If people are interested, you can go to a website, Musqueam First Nation.
Sure.
And it's in Vancouver, but it's at Vancouver, and it goes up the coast a bit north of Vancouver. Now, I'm going to say this, Sean, but when I was there, we actually went to a couple of places where we could visit and talk with people in the cultural center.
Yeah.
And they were the ones who suggested that we use you and I.
You and me?
You, yeah, the two of us. Yeah, on the air. We can use that to check to see what's happening in the First Nation. And so they got really
okay,
good stuff.
Okay, well, we'll do that later on.
But anyway, so I was telling you about Sebastian.
I got off on this other thing, this
fine.
Hockey
yeah.
thing.
Well, and you distracted me with it too.
So this guy.
So Sebastian is from Manitoba, and he's actually opening for, I forget where they're going to be now, but for Anishinaabe. This weekend coming up.
So, very nice.
Yeah. So I thought, well, we could play some of his new music, and he's got a new album called Shadow. And this one's called Love Child. Would you like to hear it now?
Certainly.
Okay. Coming up.
I thought that I had known the pain, but not like the one you showed me. Not like the one you showed me. I wish that things had stayed the same. But not with the way it's going, not with the way it's going. I've played it back 100 times, I've told myself 1,000 lies, but still inside it you are fine. I don't know how to change it. That memory burned into my head. I prayed for better things instead. You weren't dead, but I'll just carry on with the show. Don't you know I'm a father coming home, breathing in hope it helps, even though I know I won't. And they say these things take time. I don't need the storm and the rain on my face. I don't wanna fade away. Burn me out till I'm gray. I'm a product of the pain and the shadow. Fall to the floor more than a couple times now, more than a couple times now. I've walked 100 different lives, I've heard 1,000 different cries, I've tried my best to run and hide. I don't know how to change it. I've talked with God and told him lies. I've acted on my foolish pride. I swear I'm living out of spite. I'll just carry on with the show. Don't you know I'm a fallen domino? Breathing in, hope it helps, even though I know I won't. And they say these things take time.
Shadows in the Light. There you go.
Oh, yeah, that was actually not too bad. I thought it would be different than that.
Oh, is that right? In what way?
I don't know. Not as toe tapping.
Oh, okay. So that's why you were up dancing.
No. I was not dancing.
No?
No, and neither were
you. Well, I won't be for a while.
Not for a little bit. Yeah.
Anyway, getting new music is a lot of fun here at Aboriginal Voices. And,
it would be nice to get.
We'll get some more.
Some new stuff.
Yeah. Well, I've got one coming up.
Oh, yeah? New one?
Sebastian Gaskin is from Manitoba, and southern Manitoba, in the First Nation where he's from there. So I thought, okay, well, where else can we get people from? Mike Byrne. He's from the East Coast.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Now, I say the East Coast. You can actually look him up there on your computer, Mike Byrne. B-E-R-N. And it's because at one point it was New Brunswick where I was, when I was looking at some video. But then somebody said Nova Scotia, and I thought, well, wait a sec. And we got to see. So he must have a website. Oh, there it is right there.
He's got all kinds of things.
Uh-huh.
But I'm going to go to the wiki.
Oh, okay.
And well, maybe I'm not. Yeah, I'll just go to his website.
Okay.
My mouse here doesn't seem to want to work all that well.
Oh, okay. I'm glad you said all that well. And
so he's coming out with a new single called Close to You. Is that the one we have?
No. Well, you can play that if you want, but I... No, that's not the one I set
so
up.
So Mike Byrne, you want to know about him? He's a Wolastoqiyu singer.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Wola? Yeah.
Wolastoqiyu.
Songwriter from...
Tobique.
Mm-hmm. First Nation, New Brunswick. Before embarking on his solo career, Mike Byrne sang in award-winning bands Kickin' Crotch and District Avenue.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was saving that till later.
crotch with a K.
Yeah, and District Avenue
doesn't
is the location.
Seem a, doesn't yeah. seem as bad if it's with a K.
Yeah. Now, the question
isn't
is...
Isn't that like the...
So that makes it New Brunswick.
That's like the tree, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
The singer's raspy voice can be heard on First Mother, which earlier success had climbed to a number one spot on the Indigenous music something.
Mm-hmm. Now, some of his music is indie.
I think I would like to see where is this Tobique Douglas.
Okay. Yeah, New Brunswick?
I'm going to look it up.
Oh, okay. That'd be good, and then we find out. Now,
because you don't know where it is either.
I've been there.
Oh, you have not. You always say these things, and I think you're just making it up.
When you look it up, you'll see. Well, no, I was in the East Coast for 4 years.
I was there too, but not for 4 years. But
I've traveled around in the Maritimes, mostly to play hockey, as we started talking.
Of course, there's Tobique First Nation.
Uh huh.
It's right there on whatever that is, river.
Yeah.
Is that the St. Lawrence?
No, I think that's St. John River, isn't it? No, that's not. The other one beside it is. That's the one that feeds
into... St. John's River?
Yeah. Comes north to south, yeah.
Okay, this one, they don't have a name for this one. There,
it's near New Brunswick.
It's the river with no name.
Fredericton
River?
Yeah. No. They go down to the city of Fredericton.
That's where the name will be? Riviere Tobique.
Okay.
And it's the Tobique River.
Yeah, and the other one is the St. John River. That's where they meet. Yeah, well, that's
so right. What, St. John?
Well,
Tobique.
Uh-huh.
That's where all the happening people are.
That's right. Anyway, so that's New Brunswick.
So that's Tobique. They're like, they're a stone's throw away from the U.S.
That's right.
Border.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of cool. Edmundston. I was there. I went through
you drove
Edmundston.
Through
I drove through Edmundston.
Yeah, you have to. And that's
it's the only way to get there.
It's the only way to get south from there. Yeah. It's the only highway that goes that way.
Edmundston.
Unless you're way out by the other coast, by Campbellford and that. Anyway, yes, Trans-Canada Highway is close by.
Yeah.
So that's kind of neat. And it's between Edmundston and Fredericton. So
Fort Fairfield.
Woo. Have you been there?
No.
Oh. Anyway.
I just like reading names on the maps.
Mike Byrne has gone on his own, and he's got his own website. You can look at it. And as you said, a new song. So we'll be getting that one for next week, I hope, or the week after.
Oh, yeah, good.
Yeah. But the one of the new songs that I have is, what do we have here? Whoops, there it is. It says, No Words for Goodbye. And when I first heard this, I thought, oh, I want to play this because it's one of those anniversaries that you don't want to ever have too often. So last March.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
No. But it is one of those songs that as soon as I heard it, I said, I have to listen to it again.
All right.
And again.
Go for it.
So I wanted to share this with you. And if you want to let us know comments about these songs, then aboriginalvoices@cfrc.ca. So that's aboriginalvoices@cfrc.ca. That's our email address. And or you can just go to the CFRC website and you can see when our show's on, Tuesday night, 6 till 8 o'clock. You all set?
I am, Doug.
Mike Byrne is all set up for us.
Drifting off.
Sean. That's Mike Byrne with No Way to Say Goodbye. There are no words for goodbye. I'm just thinking that as we're going through doing these new pieces of music that we're getting, I was wondering if Amanda Rayholm, you've heard, we've played her before.
Yes, and, yes, we have.
Yes, that's it. That's Ishkode.
Ishkode Records.
Yeah, so she is working with Shoshana Kish on Ishkode.
Oh, I got this guy.
Oh, that's Asanabi.
That's Asanabi?
Yeah, we've played him before. And
says our story.
Yeah. But Amanda Rayholm has a new song called One of Those Days. And I got thinking afterwards, I wonder if she wrote it because they have all kinds of hiccups when you run a record. You have artists and you have to set them up. Yeah. And anyway, so who are all the people that are with Ishkode? There you go.
Samanda Riom, Aishanabe, Diggin' Roots, Morgan Tony, and Sebastian Gaskin.
So
so there.
Okay, so I'm gonna for you right now. I'm going to play Amanda Riom, and when we come back, we can talk a bit more.
Sounds good.
All set. Here we go.
Trees don't grow in such straight lines. short set of stairs, join me, Grim, in the basement for my working knowledge of indie, experimental, post-punk, and electronic, every Wednesday from 10 until 11 p.m. on CFRC 101.9 FM. Get ready to press record.
Some disabilities are invisible, and it may sound strange that someone with a hearing problem volunteers on air at a community radio station. Over time, the ravages of tinnitus and Meniere's disease not only impacted my hearing, but left lots of humming and buzzing inside my head. I like communicating with our community. The station and I work together to make sure that I can take best advantage of the hearing I've got with proper equipment and a good studio environment. From the front door to the heart of the station, our volunteers have full access. Accessibility. It's yet another way that community radio brings out the best in us. Hashtag Accessible Radio.
Every day you hear something new on CFRC. Can you keep up? You need a weekly recap. Catch up with What's Climbing Friday mornings at 10. The Charts on CFRC.
My name is Stephen Brooks. I'm an emergency doctor and researcher in the Faculty of Health Sciences at Queen's University. Out-of-hospital cardiac arrest affects about 35,000 people across Canada every year. The sooner treatment begins, the higher the probability of recovery. Neighbors Saving Neighbors is a pilot program to improve survival for people who experience sudden cardiac arrest in Frontenac County. Let us teach you how to do CPR, use an AED, and become a lifesaver. Consider becoming a Neighbors Saving Neighbors volunteer.
Apply today at frontenacparamedics.ca.
Well, here on Aboriginal Voices, we've been spending some time, and we will continue to spend time, talking about food security. And we have a very special guest coming back to our studios here at CFRC. Sarah, how are you today?
I am good. Thank you so much for having me back.
Oh, this is fabulous. And, you know, it is getting cooler, and a lot of the people out there are thinking, you know, what foods could we be eating, what else do we need to worry about? And I know in some communities they've been out hunting or fishing to get food that they're going to be able to put in their freezers or process it, like smoked or canned or something of that nature. So we'll see what happens with this. But when it comes to nutrition and getting good foods, that's why you're here today, to help us understand what we should be doing and where we might get resources.
Sounds good.
So the first thing I would say would be around you and around me in October and early November, we've been hearing gunshots, and that's because there's been waterfowl hunting, ducks and geese, and I know there's been bow hunting for wild turkeys as well. That's not very noisy, but I know that's happening, and because I know some people in my community who put two or three wild turkeys away for the winter. So can you help me understand a little bit about game hunting and good storage and then planning? Because last week you talked a bit about using the planning guide, mm-hmm. and we don't need large portions of these proteins, but we do need them.
Yes, absolutely. So our game meats and poultry, whether it's hunted or farmed, they're all good protein sources. And protein makes up a quarter of that healthy balanced plate that we talked about last time on the Canada's Food Guide. Protein is really important because it's kind of like the building blocks of our body, and it makes up all the structural components like our hair, our skin, our nails, our muscle, our immune system, all our hormones and things like that. So we want to make sure we're getting enough protein. However, North Americans tend to overconsume protein portions. and last time we were talking about portion sizes and that being around the size of a deck of cards for a thicker cut, or another analogy that will be lost on younger listeners, but for thinner things like fish, fillets like a checkbook kind of size, and that's around 3 ounces.
They're not going to know checkbooks.
They're not going to know checkbooks.
They might not know fillet either. So,
yeah. Yeah, that's true. And so with the new Canada's Food Guide, the recommendations around our protein food sources, and actually all the recommendations in this food guide is really around chronic disease prevention and management. And a huge part of that is diabetes, cardiovascular disease, and certain types of cancer. Okay. And so dietary patterns that are food choices that are high in more processed, higher saturated fat protein foods, so more of our animal protein sources, there's an increased risk of cardiovascular disease and certain types of cancer, colorectal being one. So watching our consumption of these types of things. However, it gets a little bit more complicated than that when we talk about game meats and things like that. Because when we look at red meats, typically people think of beef, which depending on the cut can be very high in saturated fats, which is not great for our heart health because of its impact on our cholesterol panel, essentially, on our blood work. However, our game meats, they're much leaner. Okay, so again, depending on the cut, there's a lot less saturated fat in those meats, so they're a much healthier choice. And it's a huge part of a lot of culture to harvest food for that coming winter and that coming year in the fall. And so safe food handling practices are very important. And using freezing as a way to preserve that food is best over things like salting, which sodium and salt has implications in heart health as well. The big one being blood pressure and stroke risk. So if we can avoid more salting practices and do more freezing, that's a much healthier way to store those types of foods.
So you're talking about bison?
Mm-hmm.
Now, people won't realize, but there are bison farms in the Kingston area.
Yeah.
And you can buy bison in some food stores in the Kingston area. And I know out west they have places where you can buy, you know, bison and put in your freezer.
Mm-hmm.
But then we're looking at deer and moose, and there's not many elk around us, but the reintroduction of elk sort of around Bancroft area by the Ministry of Natural Resources, just so that they would be part of the ecosystem and also there for local people to be able to hunt and put in their food basket. And so those are the kinds of wild games you're talking about?
Yeah, absolutely. So we think of the way that beef is produced. Farmers make more money if their cows weigh more. And so they're fed a lot. And we also prefer fattier cuts of meat from a taste palate in general, when I'm talking about North Americans. And it's those higher fat cuts that have that huge satiety feeling or mouth feel that we're all after, the melt in your mouth sensation.
Are you telling me that I now have to stop looking thinking, oh, look at all this marbling?
Yeah, the marbling. Yeah. So then that's the big difference between our red meats and our poultry. So with our red meats, of course, if there's any of that white fat, if you can trim that off, that's better because that's a really potent source of the saturated fats. So in red meats, the fat is interspersed in the muscle. So even if we're trimming off the marbling, there's still going to be some saturated fats there. But of course, our leaner cuts, our leaner meats in general, so animals that have been walking around over large areas, they will be leaner, of course, than something that's been sitting in a field eating a lot.
Or in some cases, the feedlots are, they don't sit anywhere. They just go to the trough and eat and then come back and there's a water bin and more feed.
Yeah, exactly. they're worth more to the farmers because those types of cuts are more expensive. But anyways, if we can trim the visible fat, that's great. But in our poultry, the saturated fat is just the layer under the skin, and there's very little in the actual meat. There's a little bit more in the darker meats, but it's a much leaner protein source for sure.
I just thought of last week's show, and you said that you get everybody involved.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, here's our chicken, and the young person has to, you know, pull the skin off and take the fat away.
Yeah.
It would teach them from the beginning.
Yeah, as long as they're washing their hands really well after.
It's funny because you just brought back a memory that I have, because when I was probably 10 years old, we had chickens on our property, and you know, I built a chicken coop for them and everything, and then late October we had to process them for the freezer.
Mm-hmm.
But we had to do that at home, and you know, that process was a shock to me. I had never seen it done before. I always thought you take the chickens to the abattoir and then you kind of bring them home.
Yeah.
You know, all in bags, ready to go.
Yeah.
No, this was done at home. And I'm pretty sure that my parents had decided this is a good thing for us to learn.
Yeah. And it is a good, it gives you a much bigger appreciation for where food comes from.
Mm-hmm. So that's then land-based proteins. What about from the water?
Yeah. So fish is... Actually, our general healthy eating guidelines are at least 2 servings of fish a week.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So depending on where you're from, your culture, that's, you know, sometimes easier said than done. But if you're not eating much fish, do try to increase your consumption because it's a very low saturated fat protein source. So if we're eating more fish, we're maybe displacing some other protein sources that might not be as healthy. And it's a good source of unsaturated fats. So the type of fat in it is a much heart healthier fat as well.
And then, you know, some people have areas where they do the fishing in their rivers, or not so much in the lakes as much, but... The lakes of Ontario are we all think are clean.
Mm-hmm.
They look clean, but there are chemicals there that may have an impact on our bodies and our health. And so, what can you tell me a little bit about that?
So the main concern for fish is mercury content, and so mercury kind of gets concentrated within the fish. Depending on where it sits in that food chain. So our smaller fish are quite low in mercury, so we can eat lots of them. But as we kind of go up the food chain, when fish are concerned, that mercury kind of bioaccumulates, and then some of our larger fish can be quite high in mercury, so we would want to watch our consumption of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I know a few years ago I was looking at this carefully, and the Ministry of Natural Resources Ontario, and I don't know if it's still there, but they had a list of all of the lakes of Ontario, and they had the sort of the level of different chemicals, and instead of saying, you know, arsenic or mercury or some of the other chemicals that are there that you worry about, they basically said how many fish from that lake could be comfortably eaten in a month.
Yeah.
And what shocked me were a fish like whitefish, where people, you know, that's their staple.
Yeah.
Once a month.
Yeah.
For a portion of whitefish, not the whole fish.
You know?
So back to the family, you know, everybody eating it, then you've got to worry about that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Again, it would the local health unit be a place to go to, or?
Yeah, I know our Kingston Health Unit had a really nice resource on this years ago, but I'm not sure if it's available online, unfortunately. But the health units would be a great place to start 4 years. Well, check out the Ministry of Natural Resources website.
You're
first.
Sending me off on a new project. Yeah, the Ministry of Natural Resources, and people at home could do this too, but I'll do that, and we'll talk about it later in this month. But also the local health unit, the Kingston one. And, you know, the health units keep changing in size.
Yeah.
And so, you know, some of these things may be lost if we don't go and get it soon.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's on my notes.
Yeah.
And we'll report on it later in November here on our show. Anything else that you would want to throw in here about, you know, maybe smoking the fish or some of the meats, or you mentioned already how much salt you don't want to put on.
I
think back to when people were first traveling through, you know, the French and the Scottish would come and they would salt everything to be able to carry it, and it wouldn't be destroyed down the line.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering how many people died because of doing that.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. Yeah, salt was used as a preservative, and it's kind of like everything, right? You have to weigh your pros and cons. And in that situation, it was better to use salt to preserve our food than to let our food go bad.
Right. Well, that was back to what you said last week. Yeah. How much we throw away.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. And so we were talking about the cold weather and hunting season, and it made me think of soups and stew season. And that can be a very healthy way to prepare, especially those leaner cuts of red meats. And it can be a great way to throw in some of our really heart-healthy plant protein sources, like legumes, black beans, chickpeas, lentils, things like that, into any soup or stew. They take on the flavor of what you're cooking them with. And they can help us maybe have a little bit less of the red meat and we can have it last longer, so we don't need quite as much. And then also make it a very heart healthy meal as well.
Two things there. And I'm going to start with the beans, because this is the second time you mentioned it, and I forgot to ask you the last time. With beans, you can actually buy dried beans, and you know, some of the specialty stores, but also some of the big grocery stores.
Yeah.
And but then, how do you prepare enough of that that you have it available to use? You know, you should plan a day ahead.
Yeah.
But some of the beans, for example, they require a day or a day and a half to process them yourself at home.
Yeah. So our pulses, so like dried beans, essentially, they need to be soaked for like 24 hours before you prepare them. So that's where that planning piece that we've talked about a few times really is important, which can be very difficult if you have a busy household. So I'm going to direct people to another website. It's www.pulses.org. So it's P-U-L-S-E-S. And there's lots of resources on preparing and storing dried beans. And then lentils.org, which is lentils.org. The lentils are a little bit easier because they don't require as much soaking or as long of soaking before. If you're getting the dried and you're soaking them, they tend to pack much more flavor. They're very good. Personally, I rely on the canned ones a lot. And then if you're buying canned, you're going to want to look for the no salt added varieties as well. Yeah, but then they're very easy. Yeah, and you can roast them. You can add them to soups and stews. They freeze well. If you open a can and you're only going to use half of it, that can sometimes be frustrating. But they freeze well, and then you can just thaw them out or reheat them. But yeah.
So the same with the beans that you process, like chickpeas, for example. You can process a bunch, and then you have all these leftover ones. You can actually put them in and freeze them ready in the right size.
Yeah, and that, again, helps reduce food waste. And then these plant protein sources, they're much more cost-effective. So they can be a way to bulk up a meal at a lower cost, too.
What about rice? you know, wild rice is good. We you know, everybody knows that. But what about other types of rices?
Yeah, so rice is good too. Again, that would be that other quarter of our balanced plate. It would fit into that grains group. We're encouraging more whole grains. So wild rice would fit into that category really well. Brown rice is higher in fiber than white rice. But as long as you're choosing a longer grain white rice, the nutritional content is very similar. Okay. There is slightly more fiber, and we want more fiber for, again, heart health, regulating blood sugars, reducing risk of colorectal cancers and things like that. But if you really hate brown rice, for example, it has a little bit more of a woody texture. You can choose like a longer grain white rice, and that would be a healthy thing to add to soups too.
Okay, so that we've gone through two of my plate.
Yeah.
That's half the plate. Well, actually, no, the other half, well, the other half is going to be real easy. What vegetables do we pull out? Mostly carrots, but, you know, we'll see what else there is. Lots of root vegetables are easy to store.
Very easy to store. Usually come with a cheaper price tag. They still taste good in the winter if you're buying them from stores. They're really easy to throw into soups and stews. So this time of year, like carrots and squash and things like that. Very nutritious. And with vegetables, we just want to get a variety, and we want different colors. So orange is good. Dark green is good.
Right.
Yeah. And that applies to the fruit as well.
Being the main cook at some of the big dinners that we have, I tend to put carrot, turnip, and squash into a pot, boil it up. I save the water to put the turkey bones into, or the big chicken bones into, to make our soup stock. But then we mash them together. So now we have a medley, and the colors, you know, it's mostly orange. But at least I've had some family members say, oh, I don't want them all together. But after they've tried it a few times, and I just don't, I do make a little plate for the people who really don't like it. That's fine. You know, so there's a little plate with three or four carrots and a couple of sticks of turnip and a little bit of mashed squash. But the rest of it goes into this great big bin is done at the end of the meal with, you know, a bunch of people around.
Yeah, and so, then you can use that stock for stews, soups, and, you know, you know what's going into it. You can control the salt.
I know,
and
there's no
like
salt
that.
In it.
Yeah, perfect.
Well, I wouldn't say no salt. anyway, that's really good. So we've done soups and stews and wild fish. And is there anywhere that I could look to see what fishes I should be getting? I think at one point you had a list for us on fish. You don't have to search for it, but is there a place that people could go to check this out?
Oh, good question. I might have to look that up, but any fish is good, okay, as long as we're watching for contaminants and things like that. Our fattier fish have more omega-3 fats, which is great. So think of like rainbow trout and salmon and things like that. So a balance between like pink fish, white fish, they're all good.
Oh, good. Yeah. That Arctic char?
Arctic char.
Oh, yeah, that's really tasty.
Yeah.
Well, Sarah, thank you very much for this conversation today, and I'm sure people will be sending more notes to us. I just want to remind listeners here at Aboriginal Voices, you can send it Aboriginal Voices, all lowercase letters, all one word, Aboriginal Voices at CFRC.ca. And Sarah, last word to you on the whole thing, especially with soups. What's your favorite soup?
Well, this time of year, I love a butternut squash soup. And then you can get your protein source from some roasted chickpeas on top, which is quite delicious. And I like a little dollop of like a plain Greek yogurt for extra protein as well, and make it a little creamier. That's my favorite.
Excellent. Would you come back next week and talk about sugar?
Absolutely. I am going to give one more tip, though, about soups. So, especially if time is a constraint, food preparation is an issue or whatever, I really recommend diluting out canned soup. So we were talking a little bit about sodium earlier, and all of our canned soups are quite high in sodium. But if you put that canned soup, whether it be maybe a chicken noodle or a vegetable or a minestrone, in a pot, and then you take that empty can now and you fill it up with maybe some other frozen vegetables that you have and dump that in your pot, and then fill it up with water or a no salt added broth, which is pretty easy to find. And add that to your pot, and then maybe some leftover meats or a no salt added canned lentil or something like that, and add that to your pot. You've now kind of quadrupled your volume of soup. You've got more portions and you've diluted out the sodium. So it's a much healthier option for sure.
Oh, fantastic. Sarah, thank you for coming and being part of Aboriginal Voices.
My pleasure.
Stones holds them close.